Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I titled this lesson, Love Is. Paul, after dealing with so many problems in this church at Corinth, and their misuse of the gifts that God had blessed them with, he brings it down to this point. Love. I tell you, love settles a lot of matters, doesn't it? Love settles a lot of matters and it covers sin. Now let's look at this chapter here. And as we look at it, I want you to keep this in mind. What we have before us is the love of God shed abroad in the heart. Apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we would not know what love is. In this sinful world, in this sinful human race, we would not know love. We didn't have the Word of God to tell us. Go out and ask people what love is. I mean, I'm not talking about people who are saved, but the world. You'll get all kind of goofy answers. But the Word of God gives us what love really is. Now Paul says here, well, let me go to verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 12. Paul says here, but covet earnestly the best gifts, those gifts that edify the church, that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that's best for the body of Christ. Covet those gifts earnestly, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he says here in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, which is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Corinthians prided themselves in having high eloquence in speaking, oratory. They really put a high value on oratory. And I have to say, I really like to hear someone that's a good speaker. You know, there's a program, I can't remember the name of it. But it's a program, and these people on the program are storytellers. And I go on there and I listen to them. I like to hear them tell. I like the way they tell it and how they tell it. I just find it enjoyable. But Paul says here, he said, though I have the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm just sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. It's like those wind chimes you have on the porch. And the wind is blowing, just chiming. And you know, after a while, that gets irritating. I mean, after a while, it's like enough's enough. We'll go take those things down. But that's what it is. I'm just a tinkling cymbal. That's all it is. Just chiming. You know, nothing, no rhyme or reason to it. And preaching with no heartfelt love for the people you're preaching to is useless preaching. You know, Paul spoke of preaching the truth in love. And I think to have love is to have one of the greatest, it's to have the greatest gift. Of course, we know Christ is the greatest gift, but if you have Christ, you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. And to have love is to have God. Not to have it is not to have God. He that loves not knows not God. And then he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. You know, people would like to be able to have that kind of faith, and have not love, I'm nothing. I have nothing to talk about. Nothing to boast in. If love is absent. If I could tell the future and preach the mysteries of the gospels and have great faith, yet without love, I'm useless. I'm nothing. It would be all show and dishonoring to God. I would end up making a show out of myself is what would happen without love. It's better to be filled with love than to be filled with gifts. If there's anything, any gift, if there's any grace that we would desire, that we would grow in, 99.9% of all even believers you'd ask, we're going to say faith. We say, I want to grow in faith. But really, the greatest to grow in is love. The greatest gift to grow in is love. Love to one another, love to God. And the greatest gift God can give me is a heart to preach the truth in love to you. To be able to come here week after week, and it's not a duty. It's not a job. This is not a job. But I really desire to come here and tell you and preach to you the gospel in love. That you and I could gather around our Lord and hear from Him. And to do so in love. I think it was Scott Richardson said one time, and I won't get it verbatim, but he was talking about two ways you can preach the gospel, and he was using an example of feeding chickens. He said, you can take the feed and you can just throw it at them. Or you can take it and just drop it down and let them have it. Now you can take the gospel, and I've heard it done in the past, where you can just throw it at the people. Or you can preach it in love as being one of the people you're preaching to. I preach to myself every time I preach to you. And he says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. There's no spiritual profit in it. We think that a man who would do such things, who would give all his goods to feed the poor, that he'd give his body to be burned, that man must be full of love. Well, not so. The Pharisees did what they did to be seen of men. There are many who give to charity. Probably, I'd say, the number one reason is tax break. That's probably the number one reason that the world gives to charity. I'm not talking about the church. I know the world, they give to charity. Number one is a good tax break. And then number one is good PR. Or number two is good PR. But Paul says here, to do that without love, he said, it's not profitable at all. At all. The love that Paul is dealing with here is the love of God shed abroad in the heart. And he's given us a description of what love really is. The love of God shed abroad in the heart, what it really is. And then he gives us the character of love. There's a character that shows up, or that shows itself, when love is present. When the love of God is shed abroad in the heart, here is how it is going to come out. This is the way it's going to come out. And it's one of the greatest marks of sonship. You know, when after the Lord had risen, he asked Peter, do you believe me? That's not what he asked him, is it? He said, do you love me? Do you love me? By this, John said in John 13:35, our Lord said this in the Gospel of John, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And how is that? If you have love one to another. That's how people will know you're my disciple. If you have love one to another. And then we have this character of love. Love suffereth long in verse 4, it suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not, is content. It's content. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart and you love Christ, you're content. You will find contentment in whatever the Lord has given you, wherever He's placed you, you'll be content. Love vaunteth not, that is, it's not proud and arrogant and conceited. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Let's look at these. Love suffers long, it's long suffering. Parents put up with a lot out of their children because they love them. Because they love them. You don't put up with a lot out of other people's children, but you do out of yours. Because of the love that you have, that fraternal love that you have to that child. That paternal love. I thought of the story of Absalom and David. Absalom was trying to take the throne from David, his father. He was trying to dethrone him and take over the kingdom. And when Absalom was killed, remember he's hanging in that tree and he's killed. David wept and he cried and he said, "Absalom, Absalom, would to God I had died for thee." Absalom tried to dethrone his father. He tried to take his kingdom, tried to destroy his father. And yet, David's love to Absalom, when he finds out of his death, he said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, I would to God I would have died in your place." And he meant it. He meant it. Love suffers long. Look how long suffering the love of God is with us. Since we believed, how cold has our heart still been? How often have we sinned against the Lord? How often have we done that? And yet, He's long-suffering. The Scripture says He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that any of His children should perish. He's long-suffering to usward. And then it's kind. It softens the heart. I thought it's like fabric softener. I know you're going to say, "Honey, where did you come up with that at?" When I was growing up, we didn't have fabric softener. Mom would hang the clothes on the line. Now, some of you older people, you know what that's about. And you put those clothes on, it felt like a burlap sack. Didn't they? They were rough. They were just rough. But now you put them in the dryer, you put fabric softener in them, and they're just nice to put on. That's what kindness is. It softens the heart. It softens the attitude. And then love envies not. You know, envy is a fleshly trait. You can be sure when there's envy, the Spirit of God's not at work. It's the spirit of the flesh. It's the spirit of darkness. Love envies not. There's not a parent in here, if their child succeeds, above anything any success they've ever had, there's not a parent in here that's jealous of that. Are you? You're not jealous of that at all. But it's not greed. Love, where the love of God reigns, you are not grieved if I'm successful or if one of you are blessed and, with finances or whatever the Lord's given you, the whole body rejoices. We're not grieved. It's like, "Dang, why didn't I get that?" No, we're not grieved at all. Not when love is at work. Now, when when love is not at work and it's envy, that's flesh. That's just us naturally. And then love is not rash. It's not rash in judgment. It thinks the best. This is what it's saying. It thinks the best. It wants the best. It desires the best of others. And it just wants to think the best of you. Listen in Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Is that not what our Lord did for us? Did He not cover our sins? I tell you, if God would open up our hearts and our lives, I mean, if He'd just take it all out of the closet and put it out there, we'd be too embarrassed to come here. If He would show who and what we are, we'd be too embarrassed to leave the house. You know, the Lord only gives us we really just have a small knowledge of sin, I think. We couldn't bear the full-blown conviction of sin. He gives us a conviction of sin. Christ knew what the full measure of sin was. But you and I couldn't handle that. We would go into such despair, we couldn't handle it. He gives us enough knowledge of it to grant us repentance of it. Love is not puffed up. You know, there's just some things that don't mix. Pride and love do not go together. They don't go together. And it does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked and thinks no evil. Love does not behave rudely. It's not rude. Our Lord said that He was meek and lowly of heart. He was never rude. Never rude. And it seeks not her own. Love seeks not her own. Love looks after others first. My mother, and of course all you other mothers I know too, I've seen you. When your children are at home, you're serving your guests, you know, they come over to eat, you're the last one to sit down every time. You're the last one. Not us men. Not us men. We're like hogs going to the trough. We sit down first, don't we? You just go to anybody's house. Who sits down first? The men. But no, I tell you what, the lady of that house, she sits down last. Mom cooked for nine of us at home, and she was the last one, and still this day, the last one to sit down. It's just the same as all you other mothers. You're the last one to sit down. You seek not your own. Looks after others. Love's concerned with the well-being of others. I tell you what, where this reigns, listen, where this kind of love reigns, that home cannot fail. It cannot fail. Where this love reigns, it's not impossible. And it's not easily offended. Love recognizes that everyone can have a bad day. Well, he's just having a bad day. That's love. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he's acting like that. That's flesh. That's not love. That is not love. But I've learned this over the years. People who are easily offended are people who think too highly of themselves. That's where that comes from. To be easily offended, I assure you, that person thinks too highly of themselves. And then love thinks no evil. It's not the first thing it thinks of a person. The first thing it thinks of a person is not evil. It's not evil. That's what it's saying. Because where the love of God is shed abroad in the heart and it reigns, that's not the first thing you think of. Is evil. Henry had this written down. He said, it's not suspicious of others, not easily suspicious of others, and does not look for faults in others. You know, you'd think we'd hang that on our refrigerator and read it at least once a month. I have been going over this for a few days, and I tell you, I find it very convicting. I do. I find it very convicting. And love, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love rejoices not in, it takes no pleasure in the iniquity or the fall of someone else. You know, the scripture says, rejoice not when your enemy falls. Love doesn't, because you see that that could be you. You know, a believer sees everything in the light of the gospel. That drunk out there, that could be me. There's just everything out there could be me. And yet God has snatched me like a brand from the fire. Now, brethren, if that doesn't get us, if that doesn't move us, nothing will. Nothing. But it rejoices in the truth. You know, one of the things that God hates is a lying lip. He said He hates lying lips. It rejoices in truth. Truth of the gospel. In being truthful. It rejoices not. Rejoices not. Not in iniquity. Someone said this on this iniquity part. What is in us is what we usually point out in others. Love recognizes love and evil recognizes evil. I thought that was a good statement. What's in us, we point out in others. And then it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love knows that all things are of God. And love keeps us together in spite of our sinfulness. You know, my dad and mother chased me, but they never ran me off. They had reasons to, but they didn't. I mean, they chased me, but they dealt with me. And love keeps us together. Love covers, here's a good statement someone I read. Love covers with silence all things. It covers with silence all things. And then love never fails. Where there's failure, love is absent. It's absent. Then charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. All the gifts, and Paul's telling the Corinthians and us that all these gifts that have been mentioned will not be needed someday. Faith will give way to sight. And there won't need to be any more prophecies or future because there won't be no future. We'll be with the Lord. And knowledge. Yeah, I thought about this when I read this. Whether there be knowledge. I was a machinist for 40 years. It's useless now. That knowledge is useless. In heaven, all this knowledge that we have acquired in order to make what we call make a living is useless. You learn a trade, you learn a skill, you whatever it is you do. You do it for X amount of years and one day you come up and you punch the clock for the last time or you walk into that office for the last time and it's over with and that knowledge that you used all those years is no more needed. Isn't that something? knowledge. And there'll be a time when nobody will need to stand in the pulpit and tell you of Christ. Because you'll be there. You'll be there. And you'll know even if you're known. You won't need that. You won't need this, what we're doing this morning. Now we know in part and we prophesy in part. So we have nothing to brag about because all that we know is just a little bit. That's all we know. I've learned that. You know, people call, you know, we have what we call geniuses. Well, you take them outside of that little area they're in and they can't even, they couldn't even function. Everybody has an intelligence in a certain area. Outside of that area, they're not. We only know in part. We only, the little part that we even know of God, that we know of Jesus Christ, that we know of glory, that we know of paradise, is just a little part. It's just a little part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When perfect knowledge of God, of Christ, and the mysteries of God's kingdom is come, our imperfect knowledge, our weak faith, and all these gifts will be just like toys. They'll just seem as toys. Because Paul says in the next verse, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a time for childhood. And there's a time for manhood. And blessed is the man who knows the difference. But here's what he's saying. You take the most instructed, educated man there is, and you take a child and what it knows. Let's take a 2-year-old child and what it knows. Watch the comparison. I mean, the difference between what this man knows and what this 2-year-old knows is just not even comparable, not even on the same page. That's what Paul's saying. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away all those childish things. And when we reach our full maturity in Christ, and that's in glory, we never reach it here, then shall we act like we ought to act and know as we ought to know. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. There won't be no covering, there'll be no darkness. We know right now, what we know is just like looking through a cloudy glass. But then we're going to see Him face to face. I cannot imagine. It's hard to imagine, but of really looking into the face of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. We're here to worship Him. We're reading about Him. And then one day, and it's not going to be long for anybody in this room, even the youngest ones, life is short, period. If you live to be 80, 90 years old, it's that fast. As my dad said once, he was talking about the kids that's growing up and everything. He said, it seems like it was just a dream. Just a dream. But one day, I and you are going to look in a very short period of time into the face of Jesus Christ. And all this other stuff, this knowledge and all this stuff, and the stuff that the things that the Corinthians were being envious of and having trouble over, it's gone. It's gone. It was just needed for a little while. Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I can't imagine that kind of knowledge. That you just know it. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you just went to school and you just knew it? You walked in the classroom, well, I know that. I got the answer to that. They put the big complicated math problem up there. Well, I know the answer. You know. You know. It's amazing. It's just, you'll know even as you are known. And now he said, abide of faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Why is that so? Well, faith someday is going to give way to sight. We won't need faith no more. And hope someday is going to give way to reality. If you have something, then why do you hope for it? You don't. You got it. Hope's going to give way to reality. Faith's going to give way to sight. Love is going to continue to grow and grow. It's going to expand. I mean, we can't even begin to comprehend what love really is until we stand in His presence. And that is one thing that will not be gone. It will abide. This is one that will abide forever and ever and ever. It will do nothing but expand. That's what love is. Anytime someone wants a definition of love, don't talk about a warm, fuzzy feeling. Because those things, they come and go. Take them to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There is a description of the love of God. That's it.